Recorded, are we?
Yes, we are. Hello, welcome to another episode of Horizon Scan. I said what?
You said shoot the shit. You said shoot the shit. I didn't. That's unintentional. But there
I
we
said
go.
We'll shoot right. The shit at the start of the episode, like we normally do. I ask you how you're doing.
You don't really want to know. We don't care.
Not really. I don't even care if you're sad. If you're sad about something, then that pleases me. So, yeah. I want to hear how miserable you are. Do you want to tell everybody how important you are and what an important function you went to last night?
No, I don't want to.
Your invite
I don't want to.
Function.
I don't want to. I don't want to.
Okay.
Yeah. However, Bronze Age pervert.
Oh, right, okay.
So, who you introduced me to.
I did. Controversial
figure. A few weeks back, he posted something on X, and it was to do with physical training and whatever. Yeah. And he was talking about some guy. It was basically about training abdominals. And he was saying that most of the exercises we do to train your abdominals to strengthen them or whatever, most of the exercises you do, they don't actually focus on the abdominals. They incorporate a huge percentage of some other muscle group.
Hang on.
Like sit-ups, for example.
You're talking about Roy Nationalist, not Bronze Age Pervert. Because you're talking about Vince Gironda, I think his name is.
Might be Roy Nationalist.
About like a classic bodybuilder guy.
Yeah, there we go. That's it. Yeah.
Roy
Nationalist. And anyway, so I didn't realize it. Okay, cool. And he put this one exercise as an example. And I'll try and explain it for people. So imagine if you're sitting on the floor. And you bring your feet together, so your feet, the soles of your feet are touching each other. So like you're doing that groin stretch, you know, your knees are flailed out left and right. Now you bring your feet together, but you do that, but you're laid on your back. So you actually laid down with the soles of your feet touched together, laid on your back. And then you basically hand behind your head and you do a crunch. You only crunch up so far is that the top of your back comes off the floor, but the small of your back remains on the floor. You crunch and then hold that for 2 seconds and then lay back down. And you don't move it. It's a really, when I first started doing it, it feels like it's not a useful abs exercise, but you have to really focus on activating those muscles, like use those muscles to crunch you forward and hold it there, really squeeze in, like try and squeeze your chin, your shoulders towards your knees. And the only way you can do it, if you're leaving the small of your back on the floor, the only way you can do it is by crunching your abs. I started doing that a couple of weeks ago. My God. Yes. Much more effective for strengthening your abs up than just other sit-ups and stuff. Because those, yeah, normal sit-ups are working. What are the adductors? Is it the tops of your legs? Display hips. Yeah. Like leg raises and all that. It's all nonsense. It all does do
something, doesn't it? It's just not focus. It brings in all the muscles as well. So if you actually want to fucking destroy yourself on it. Yeah. Yeah, lots of this stuff's really interesting. I think it is Vince Gironda. It's like Gironda or Gironda. If you're like a meter gym guy, I'm sure you'll know who this guy is. But that Raw Egg Nationalist. It's a good account to follow on X if you're on there.
I mean, the reason I was interested in doing that, anyways, because when I do sit ups, I get a sore back. Like when I do them, and I do them regularly just for exercise, but I get a sore back.
Yeah.
When I'm doing it in my lower back, as in while I'm doing it, not afterwards. I don't get like an injury from it, but when I'm doing it, I get a discomfort in my lower back, which inhibits my ability to do the sit up properly. So I can't train myself to the level I train myself at. And these. What do they call them? They're called Russians. They're called Russian crunches, aren't they?
No idea.
I think they are, yeah. Vince Gironda is... I'm going to Google it for people, just in case they're inspired by my story.
Well, we're having a fitness episode.
Vince Gironda, Russian crunches. They're not Russian crunches. No, anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, I've explained it.
Yeah.
I've explained it, so...
How the fuck did we get onto that?
Because you've, I don't know, just popped in.
I asked you how you are and you decided to talk about your abs.
Not my abs. Well, yeah.
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 Yeah. I'm okay. Thanks for asking. I'm fine. Yeah, could give a fuck.
Don't care.
I've had a turbo stressful, 2 weeks? Oh, 10 days.
That's because you've turned Dr. Doolittle, haven't you?
It's fucking bad. Dog gate. Fuck, yeah.
What's going on?
Okay, so if you follow me on socials and stuff, you'll have seen me showing videos about a lot of puppies. Obviously I'm in Bulgaria. Bulgaria has a stray dog problem. Not in a shit way, really. Like, they love dogs here, but there's just lots of them. And their attitude toward dogs is a bit different. So even if you own dogs, even if you have a dog who lives in your house or whatever, you might let it out during the day to just roam and cut about, cut some detail like people do with cats. So it's slightly different attitude they have. Obviously, with all stray dog issues, it's basically just like they just breed and you get loads of them and they become too much. There's lots of farmland here, so there's lots of these big sort of Balkan sheepdog breed guard, what are they called? Livestock guardian breeds here. And the reality is when they get old, they can't keep up with the herd anymore. When they just plod around, a lot of them just mince about and just get just cut away and go a bit decrepit. But people feed them here. It's quite often you will find people just feeding loads of dogs. And that's obviously what me and the missus have started doing. Now, opposite where we live, it's been a little bit long-winded, but opposite where we live, there is like a, effectively a building site, like a half-built building. It's quite a big thing. And when we first arrived here, there was a female dog and three pups who were literally, they must have been 5 months old, maybe. And they were literally outside our apartment when we turned up. And we were like, right, fuck, we're feeding these guys then. And we've been feeding them ever since. One of the pups died. So anyway, last week, I think, I was just cutting about in my house, minding my own business. And I heard a load of squealing. I was like, fuck's sake, because I figured somebody had been run over. I figured one of the dogs had been run over. Steeled myself to go and have to deal with that. And looked out the window, and there was just a load of fucking puppies. Like, literally, 2-month-old, tiny, cute puppies. So, obviously, I ran down and, went to see what the gem was with them. Now, I figured, because the noise was so sudden that we hadn't seen them previously, that they'd been dumped. Because that does happen. I figured, oh, right, well, somebody's seen us feeding this mum that lives there with her old pups. Somebody's just pulled up and gone, right, we'll dump them there because they'll probably get fed. That's what I thought would happen. I assumed that it couldn't be another litter for the current lot because she'd literally just had a litter. Literally just had them prior to us getting here. So I got one of our big cages and scooped up these fucking seven pups and brought them into the house. Thinking, right, they're not going to get run over in here. We'll do all the meds on them and we'll try and get them rehomed or get them, dealt with somehow. So I spent last week pretty much covered in shit and piss. Having a fucking nightmare. Regretted it. Probably second day. Like, what the fuck have I done here? But dogs are it. You got to look after them. So committed to that. Then, I apologise, it's a long-winded tale. Then, me and Bodhi, which is my border collie, my actual dog that I fucking paid for and got, I took him out for a shit in the morning. And the mum from across the road was with another dog, a male dog, and started, chasing us. Not, aggressively, but, coming after us, barking. Now, obviously, what had happened was she's looking for her fucking pups and some bella had stolen them. So she then, we did probably a loop of about half a mile trying to basically get back to the apartment without these guys getting too close to us. Because obviously, Bodhi had been around the pups as well. So we both obviously smelt of the pups. And then other two bigger puppies from, the start of the year, they were chasing us as well. I might put a video on the social on the socials later if you actually give a fuck about this. But anyway, turns out I'd robbed this poor dog's kids. Yeah. Basically, fucking yeah. Because when I
how long is that going to haunt you for?
Oh no, no, she's all cool. We're friends again. I have kept two of them though.
You kidding?
No, no, no. We got two. We kept two. But yeah. I fucking... Cause when
why?
Because I wanted one for Bodhi. I wanted a big...
How many animals you got? How many... Lots. For people's awareness, how many animals have you got now, guys?
Well, we've got five cats. Sorry, four cats that are my missuses. Two of them are strays that we took in. We had, at one point, when we were at home, we had, I think, 11 cats because we were looking after strays. So, yeah, we dealt with them. Not killed them, got rid of them, got them homes. So yeah, we've got four Pomeranians, my border collie, so that's five dogs, and we've now got another two dogs who are going to be big dogs.
Seven dogs and four cats.
Seven dogs, four cats, yeah. Yeah, because I wanted one for Bodhi, because he wanted a big guy, big friend who he could, you know, play with roughly. So he can't play with the Poms properly. He could go do big dog exercise things with. And then, but Katie, well, right, don't fucking start me. Yeah, we've got two. Katie, because Katie wanted one as well. Because we wanted different ones, so we ended up with both of them. Yeah, fucking nightmare. Yeah, so, you know.
Fuck's sake.
Because when I took the pups in, the mum didn't do anything. Because she's super good natured, but she didn't react at all. She didn't react at all when I was grabbing them and putting them in a fucking cage and stealing them. Didn't react, and I'd put some food down previously, and she'd been quite aggressive with them. So it just didn't seem like there was any maternal shit going on there whatsoever. But obviously, as soon as I dumped them back over there with her, yeah, they're all on the nipple, and everyone's much happier. Still fucking feeding them. I've still basically got all those dogs. They all live off across the road. It's like a huge tribe of dogs now. Yeah. But yeah, I've got two, so I've now got Utah and Dakota, who live with us too. So there you go. Yeah, if you want one of the dogs, I can still get you one. People are like, oh, I'll have one when I was trying to rehome them. Yeah, still definitely get you one. They're fucking mega, super nice dogs. Anyway, that's what I've been doing. That is what I've been doing. So, you know, it's like we have a puppy in the house. We've got two new twats. They're quite funny. I know this is not interesting for anybody, so this is going to be a shit episode, but we don't know what we're going to talk about anyway, so we might as well talk about me stealing fucking poor animals. Yeah, they're quite Eastern European. They don't smile. They just look moody at you.
Ooh.
Dogs, the puppies.
They can't, guys, dogs can't smile, mate.
Right. Of course dogs can fucking smile. Don't be stupid.
No, they can't.
They can. Dogs smile.
Explain to me how dogs smile.
With the fucking mouth and their face, exactly like humans.
No.
Do. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Okay. No. Stop talking nonsense. I'm Googling it.
Dogs smile.
No. If dogs could smile, it would be common knowledge. Dogs can't smile.
Dogs do something with their face when they're happy. That means you can tell they're happy.
Is that a change in their eyes?
Well, it's changing their whole face. Dogs have expressive faces. Like, I can look at any of my dogs and I can tell what mood they're in, all that stuff from what their face is doing. Now, one of those expressions aligns with when they're happy. So that's smiling.
All right. I'll accept that dogs make... Dogs change their heads to indicate that they're happy.
Change their heads.
What I won't accept is a dog smile. Because when you say dogs can smile, I think, what, they put their mouth into the shape of it. They adjust their mouth specifically to indicate they're happy.
Well, it kind of, for most of them that I've had, yeah, they kind of do that.
I think it's in your head.
Okay.
And I'm, by the way, I am a seasoned dog owner and dog lover.
You're also a retard.
So, I'm not going to dispute that.
Speaking of retards, fucking Yusuf Hamza fucking turd bag. No.
Whoa, wow. Well,
that's what you wanted to start with, wasn't it? I thought he'd resigned, but apparently he hasn't resigned. He hasn't resigned. I got all excited. Because
no, but they're going to try and do a vote of no confidence in him, basically.
Well, yeah.
So, in August 2021, Nicola Sturgeon, the dominant figure of Scottish politics, announced a groundbreaking alliance with the Scottish Greens at Bute House, the elegant Edinburgh residence of Scotland's first ministers. Mm-hmm. It was the first time in the UK that Green politicians had been in government and would usher in a new era of cooperation and consensus building, and ultimately would deliver a greener, fairer, independent Scotland. That's what happened.
Right. Was that before or after they stole a load of money?
Well, Sturgeon, he's just been arrested again, you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sturgeon's husband. So then what happened? So basically, not long after, well, about a year and a half, Sturgeon got pumped legally over independence plans and announced she was standing down. This then caused dramas within the party, and Yusuf has decided to rip the agreement up. The agreement was, yeah, I don't think the Greens saw it coming. I think they thought they were going to have a decision on whether they would be able to keep the agreement in place, the cooperative Scotland agreement, and they were going to have a vote on it, and Yusuf said, no, fuck off. That pretty bold move. Like, can you imagine if that happened, like, in England? You know,
Coalition.
Coalition, yeah, coalition. If like David Cameron had binned off the Lib Dems,
but that kind of did
happen. David Cameron, wasn't it, with the coalition?
Yeah, it kind of did happen. Did it? They used to bring stuff up constantly, and it was like, no. Yeah, like it's one of these things. Like it's a dream, and then they actually get there, and it's like you are the most junior partner in this. Just be happy to be involved. Yeah, we're making you look more serious than you are. That's basically what happened. And then obviously Nick like fucked off and started making millions from Facebook.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, either way, it's pure. I mean, it's just Scotland are in a similar position to England in terms of politically, aren't they? Because they've got the SNP's in power. They're getting pumped by Labour and everyone else. They're just losing popularity, as the Conservatives are in the UK, and sort of I say they're getting pumped by Labour. Same with England. Conservatives aren't getting pumped by Labour. Conservatives are pumping themselves. SNP are pumping. It's like just complete self sabotage. It's fucking terrible. Weird. Terrible. Is it weird though?
Well, it's just not good. It's weird that it's all happening at once. The kind of apathy that you get when you just have no real choice and everybody's shit, you just go, fuck this.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Nobody's inspired politically currently, are they? The vast majority of the public are just like, I'm sick of these cunts. Like, the public are always sick of politicians, but it's like, it's bad at the moment.
Mm.
It just seems to me that we're seeing very similar things everywhere. But the public want one thing, politicians want to do another thing, and the public just are being ignored.
Yeah. I've been thinking a few times recently, worryingly thinking, that the way we are headed, like Western democracy is headed, or certainly in the USA for sure, and UK and maybe parts of the EU as well, or Europe as well, is that the way it's headed, in 10 or 15, if it keeps going the way it's going, in 10 or 15 years' time, then a more desirable place to live would be China, in terms of the way they're set up. I just see it as being a better place to live, being a human being on the planet, than like the USA or the UK. If it keeps going where it's going, it's like I'd rather live somewhere where I know. I'd rather live somewhere where I know the boundaries. I know what's going on. I know how things have run. Really, I know what I can and can't do, and I know the repercussions, as opposed to the fucking smokes and mirrors that are constantly going on here and elsewhere in the West, which is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And I was thinking yesterday about, you know, the influence of the military industrial complex, that whole thing on foreign policy mainly, and indirect influence on like internal situations, internal problems, whatever they may be, from like funding issues to societal issues to fucking whatever you want to, whatever. Pick the problem that the UK or the USA has right now, any of those, and the influence they have on it. And I was trying to see a future where, okay, we regain or we get rid of the influence that that complex, that industry has on American politics in particular. And I can't see where you can regain it. I just can't see how. I can't see how you can get rid of, like, organically get rid of their influence on US politics and British politics by default. And then EU as well, right? Yep. Can't see how it can happen. There literally needs to be, there would need to be some kind of coup, uprising, something mental to completely replace government. There and here, if you wanted to eliminate the influence they have, and the thing is, if you can't eliminate the influence they have, then how do you ensure that your country can start improving and you can start bringing, you know, lowering the fucking debt ceiling, you know, start improving and looking internally and trying to improve things internally for the people of the country, as opposed to throwing money and influence and effort elsewhere, like happening now. I can't see it. I think we're just going to get worse. And worse and worse and worse. And I hope that when the UK realizes that with America, we cut ties sooner rather than later. But I don't think it'll happen because of the financial influence and benefits that our politicians and people who influence as politicians, industry, get from it. Like, totally fucked.
Yeah. Well, it's that thing, isn't it? It is that sort of all fucking phrase you hear thrown around about how the war isn't meant to be won, it's meant to be continuous. You know what I mean? Like the reason that
that's new world thinking, right? That's like new age thinking, modern era thinking, post World War II thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, post World War II, yeah. Yeah. And then probably gets worse in the sort of 50s onwards, doesn't it? And certainly from 2000s onwards.
Mm.
Yeah, it's one thing after another, because there has to be somewhere to keep this thing going, because of, you know, keeps the economies going. It certainly keeps the US economy going. And you know, we're obviously connected to that because the financial system's connected. Yeah, it's depressing. Like, I was actually thinking about it a while ago. But how could you redirect that? How could you? Could you let's just assume that people don't actually want to just kill other people in other countries. Let's assume that. It's probably not true, but let's imagine that scenario. Where else can companies that make, with all the armament companies, where else could their sort of technology and expertise be spent for still like some gain? And it's probably like space travel and things like that, isn't it? It's probably like trying to get behind, right? We're all going to go to fucking Mars. We're going to build fucking factories in space. We're going to do all that type of stuff. It seems to be that's the only way they could still get tax money thrown at their businesses. And people still get rich. So the same thing happens. It's just that you're not at war. Obviously, I'm not a pacifist. I'm assuming you're not a pacifist either. But it's nice not to be fighting for the sake of fighting. It's nice to be fighting if there's a reason. I'm not naive enough to think that all the stuff that I've been involved with was somehow good. Like, I'm well aware that it wasn't. But it'd be nice for people's lives to You know, if they're going to go and fight, it'd be nice if it was for a decent reason. And maybe you believe the current stuff is for a decent reason. Maybe you do. That's your right. So yeah, I kind of feel the same as you do. But if you did that, that's tax money going towards, you know, fucking humans leaving Earth and going and traveling space exploration. You would have to get the public behind that. Otherwise, they'd have the same problems. And you're not going to get it to the same level without fixing what's at home. The problem that the public have isn't that money's being spent on all these things. Some of the public don't actually, you know, they're quite happy, have loads of walls and fund that. Lots of the public would, because they're maybe patriotic and they believe, yes, we should be for going and fighting the Russians and, you know, my kids being conscripted to that, it's fine. All that stuff. But they were not going to get behind that unless the problems at home are sorted. If your daily life is okay, your roads are fixed, you're not being, you know, yeah, if your daily life is okay, you probably don't care quite so much about where your money's being spent around the world and what's going on. You probably trust your government to deal with that. Yeah, it's a pretty dark place at the moment. I hate doing this fucking... I've noticed that we're so fucking depressing on here. All we do is complain. I don't really want to do that quite so much. I would like to try and be positive about things. Because you do get into that fucking... black pill fucking doominess. What? What's that face?
I was trying to work out how you could do that.
Yeah, I don't know how you can, really. I don't know how you can. I'm not sure how you can. Yeah. I'm aware that we come on here and we just complain about the same things all the time. But I think that comes from a sense of frustration. I don't think we're the only people that feel it. Because you look around and go, fucking hell. Yeah. How do you get out of this? There's something ingrained in the way that we're doing things that makes it really hard to break out of without ructions.
The thing is, it's like, the thing is, in your day-to-day, you don't see, it doesn't affect you. I just went out and bought some coffee. It doesn't impact me, right? I'm talking about politics. I'm specifically talking about you. Doesn't impact me. I go out and get my coffee, I come back, I jump on Horizon Sky, I'm like, guys, I'm going to finish this, I'm going to carry on my work, and I'm going to do whatever. I go to the gym later on. Doesn't impact me. And the touch, and for that reason, I think most people don't feel a need or desire to have any form of strong opinion with like substance to that opinion on political goings on who they do or don't like, or may not vote for, people-wise, party-wise. And because of that, most people don't pay attention to the complete antics that's going on in politics, other than the headlines that are thrown at them. And the problem is with the headlines, you may think that's enough, but it's not. Because the headlines that are thrown at you are being thrown from a political side, or for some other reason that isn't giving you necessarily quality information or balanced information. So it's like, it's really difficult. And then when you add into that, like the few touch points that Joe Public, you, me have throughout the year or throughout the 5-year cycle of people being in power, the political cycle, actual touch points with the political system, proper touch points like voting, you know, like, you know, be that local ballots or be that a general election. So a few touch points, like, so you've got very few touch points and very, very little inclination to actually pay attention to whatever's going on, which means that politicians and the political system can continue to run the country into the ground, which is exactly what's happening. And the only people that will be okay down the line when this happens are people who are blissfully ignorant. Yeah. And the people who are blissfully ignorant in the middle, they're not high earners, they're not low earners, they got a job, they got this, you know, the normal 9-to-5 nuclear family life a lot of people have, and they got their blinkers on. They don't care about having their blinkers on because they're in the zone of routine and going through life that way. The other people who'll be fine is people who are fucking rich, and the other people who'll be fine are people who leave the country and go somewhere else. But that leaves a huge percentage of other people, parts of the population, who won't be okay. Who will have aspirations to go and do this, that, and the other? Who will have generations before them, their father, or the mother, or their grandmother, or the grandfather, who did X, Y, Z in their careers or in their life, and down the line, they're not able to do that now because the country's changed. You don't have the freedoms you have. You don't have the money. You don't have access to the money, the ability to earn the kind of money you had before, the freedoms you had before. You don't have the ability to maybe even vote for any other party because there's only fucking one in existence. Just all that is like eroded away. It's happening so slowly. Oh, to the freedom to say what you want to say without going to jail. It's happening so slowly that people are just walking into an abyss. But like I said, the majority of the population, I think, that could be, what's the word? Not activated. Yeah, activated to go and actually put a vote in, change the political system, or can do and could actually make some change, are the ones that they wouldn't really care or notice.
Yeah.
Things went pear-shaped. It wouldn't be just like, they just, okay, this is the world I exist in, this is all I know, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's not me slating them. That's not me slating that. I'm not one of those. And it's not me slating them. I think you've, like I mentioned before, I would love to be that. I would love to be that. I would love to be blissfully ignorant and just content.
Yeah, but they're not. All the time. They're not content, though, are they? They're ignorant of why these people will still complain when a bad thing happens to them, like, I don't know, the fucking gas bill comes and they can't afford it. They find out that they haven't got quite so much money left over at the end of the month because of whatever taxation is happening. Any of those things, they get fucking, the kid gets beaten up and knifed at school. You know what I mean? When these things happen to them, they complain about it. And maybe that wakes them up a bit. But I mean, what I'm saying is, they're oblivious until one of these things happens to them. They are affected by it. They just don't, they're not aware that these things might happen. And I don't know, until they'll still complain about the effects of the problems, even if they're not, they're blissfully unaware of the problems. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but in the complaint, they're just a rebro. It's like when people bitch about something that happened. It's like you see something like a political event. Or you, this Yusuf, you know, in Scotland. Yusuf being in that agreement. And the people whinging about Yusuf, a lot of them, they're just a fucking rebro station. They're just rebroadcasting, re-saying what they think they're supposed to say, what they've seen other people say. Like, you know, this whole sheep echo chamber thing. And they're just saying the thing they think they're supposed to say when they about the thing they're supposed to whinge about.
Yeah, maybe, but I'm just, you sort of described somebody who is like, you know, reasonably content and happy and just is having an okay life and is just cracking on and isn't like, doesn't get involved with any of this. But those people will, what I'm saying is those people will still think to themselves, hang on, why is my bill so high? Why is that like that? Why can't I afford the things I want to afford anymore?
Mm.
They still get to have those thoughts. They just don't understand the process that's happened because they've been blissfully unaware of it. Of all the incremental steps that got them to that point. So it's fucking frustrating.
Do you think, so let's say it's election day, you're in the UK, right?
Nice.
Conservatives, Labour, Lib Dem, or whatever the dross is on the ballot. I think, I don't mean dross, but on the ballot. What do you think the answer is, or the action you should take if you're going to go vote? You're not sure what you want, but you know you're not happy with Labour and Conservative. You're not happy with the current political system. What is it? Just vote for any of the smaller ones, do you think?
I don't know. To be honest,
because the thing is with the smaller ones, well, they've got the Reform Party. I think that's one of them, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The smaller ones are actually seen to be wanting to bring about change. They're like tarred with racism and anti-trans, and they're just totally like tarnished with these. I don't know, some of them may be like that, some of them may not, I don't know, but like Reform Party for sure. The Brexit Party was the same when the Brexit Party was about, wasn't it?
Yeah, but these things.
I don't know what the answer is.
These things are deliberately. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Reform is fucking bollocks, but they had a lot of their candidate selection isn't very good. That's an important thing, is selecting candidates. They selected candidates that had really easy, maybe not even red flags, but things that could be flagged up. And instead of defending them and going, no, well, fuck off, though, this is our candidate. You must have seen this. Hope Not Hate. It's like a charity NGO type fucking thing. Scumbag organization. Every time Reform came up with a candidate, this place would then do a deep dive on them and go, oh, well, guess what? So-and-so's a bit of a racist. Or guess what? So-and-so's anti-trans. And instead of, I think their leader, Richard Tice, instead of, who's a bit of a fucking mong, just a rich mong by the sounds of it, but it seems that way anyway. Instead of standing by the candidates and going, well, no, this is our candidates, they bin them straight away. So they got all these wins. This organization, Hope Not Hate, got fucking all these wins and made their party look worse than it is. I don't think it's particularly a decent party anyway. But if you're going to, you know, select these people as candidates to represent and try and win votes, you can't just bin them as soon as someone goes, well, actually, this person's like nasty in this way. You've got to select them properly and then stand by them. But yeah, but that's going to happen to all these little parties. It's going to happen to them all because nobody wants the status quo to change. Nobody who actually has any influence and, you know, power wants the status quo to change, do they? They don't want a new party. They want to just flip from Labour to Conservative, Labour to Conservative, the way we've seen that sort of uni-party thing that we have now. As we were discussing last time, you know, not quite one party state, but, you know, the output is very similar. No one wants that to change. So until somebody starts a new party, selects the candidates well, and then basically puts the finger up at anyone who criticizes them and just gets on with the job of winning, until somebody does that, nothing's going to change. Now, will that be that startup party, DC's thing? Will it be that? Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But that's, you're not going to see them until 2028. You know, if they could bring the same attitude to that party as they had during their time with, you know, getting Brexit done and the time with Boris when he was doing as he was told, things were refreshing then because they didn't play the media game. There was a real quiet. The media went absolutely fucking batshit because they just ignored them. They didn't send people on programs to talk about stuff. They just got on with the job. So it wasn't MPs just going on programs to get gotcha'd. They basically turned around and said, no, fuck it. We're doing the work. We've got a serious thing to get done. We're going to do this. Look at what we're doing. We're not going to come on just to get some clickbait for you guys. And until that happens at scale, bringing a new party in, you're going to see the same thing.
You think your country could be run by a DAO, just hypothetically?
By what?
A DAO.
Don't know. Yeah, don't know. I don't think people are engaged enough. It's like that when people talk about trying to do referendums like they have in Switzerland. Like, that all sounds mega the way they do things. But the turnout for lots of the referendums isn't very good.
What do they do?
They have referendums on, like, lots and lots and lots of things. That's how their democracy works there. Like, things are put up. I can't, obviously, rip me to pieces. I don't understand the process fully. But at one point, I considered going to Switzerland, so I looked into it a little bit. But things are done via referendum. So I would imagine it's something like people can suggest it, certain amount of people suggest it. You know, the way we do with questions in Parliament here. I'd imagine it's very similar to that. So, yeah, lots of things.
Can we explain it?
Yeah, go.
Yeah. Right, this is Wikipedia.
Great.
Federal referendum.
Well, not a corrupt source at all. Well done.
Swiss referendums take three forms. Popular initiatives, which are citizen proposals to create a new law and require 100,000 valid signatures on a petition to get on the ballot. That's interesting because, oh yeah, it's 100,000 signatures just to get discussed in Parliament, which is fucking jack shit.
Yeah. And then they won't turn up anyway.
Yeah. Facultative or optional referendums, which are citizen proposals to approve or reject a piece of existing law and require 50,000 valid signatures, and mandatory referendums, which are required to revise the constitution, join an international organization, or introduce emergency federal legislation for over a year.
But I'm not sure the turnout for lots of it is turbo mega. Maybe if I've seen for some it will be, for some it won't be. It's like one of the things that sounds like, oh, that sounds really good, and maybe it is better than the way we do things here. I don't think it's like perfect.
Okay, let's have a look.
I've actually got lots of other things to talk about as well while we've been chatting.
Okay, turnout, yeah, there's two different referendums they've given examples of, and the turnout is between 35 and 50%. That's high.
Yeah, it's not bad, really. It's not bad.
That's high.
For like Bookshy, non-general election type stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I mentioned about the DAO, and for people not aware of DAO, DAO, Decentralized Autonomous Organization, DAO and NACSF, I don't know. Again, I'm increasingly thinking at the moment, or questioning, is this capitalist democratic system that we have, most of the West have, is it not fit for purpose? What we're experiencing now, what America's experiencing in the West, is that an indication that our capitalist democratic system does not work long term? That's what goes on in my head at the minute. And then again, why I mentioned China is that, okay, that seems to be worse, but is it better long term? Do the positive and negative aspects of what they've got converge somewhere with our positive and negative aspects, and they actually becomes a better system longer term than what we have? I'm not saying it is or it isn't. It's more about questioning what we have now. It is not working. It's problematic, and it seems to be getting worse. Which means is the system broken, or is there control measures we should have put in place in the past to reduce the influence of capitalism, industry, commerce on politics that we haven't done, but we could enact now? I don't know. I would like to think that what we have, like capitalist democracy, is good. We haven't run it very well, is what I'd like to think.
Maybe it's the case that nothing's meant to be permanent. Like, there's nothing, there's very little in, like, nature that's permanent. Things tend to be cyclic. So perhaps you do need something like this for a while, and then you need something else. You know? Other times and different countries and eras have done things differently. They ended up here. Maybe you go back to another way of doing things. But, you know, it's not a throwaway conversation.
Mm.
You know? I mean, China's great until it's not. And that's the thing with China. Like, it's great until it's not. Like, you can still just get fucking disappeared and put in a bin in China. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, it used to be the case where it didn't really happen to Westerners. When they first were letting Westerners over there. Not really first, but I know certainly when my brother was obviously there, you know, 15, yeah, well, no, probably nearly 20 years ago now, Jesus Christ, when he first went. He was, you know, as a Westerner there, you were fairly untouchable. You know, it was like a fucking film star. You just minced about. Your money was good, and you just got left alone. You probably could break the law. Lots of people were like stoners and stuff like that. You can't do drugs there. But if you got caught for things like that, it was very much like, why, just fuck off, leave me alone. Because they were trying to bring Western money in and get a bit of influence. Now it's different. It's a different thing now. Like, they actually are not quite so interested in having Westerns there. You're treated very, very differently. And you probably could end up in a fucking bin. So yeah.
Do you think that's because of the change in the geopolitical sort of power dynamics?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they just don't feel they need this anymore. They don't feel they need it. They don't need the Western sort of money and stuff, like low level, you know, Western money and tourism stuff like that. You don't need it in quite the same way. And maybe they're wrong. Maybe that's a mistake. But they definitely, when Nick went over there, he was over there for a bit last year, maybe the year before. Went for like a holiday to see his wife's mum. And he said the vibe was different. The vibe was different. And lots of his friends who are still there are now looking to try and get out because it's not as cool.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But I've never been. I wouldn't go and spend some time there.
I've been twice. Mm. It's quite good in some ways. And it's quite fucking shite in other ways. Yeah. First place I went was Wuhan years ago. My brother used to teach at a university. In a college. In Wuhan. Quite amusing. What?
There was Wuhan news recently, wasn't there? US revelations involvement to do with the Wuhan lab.
Well, yeah.
Have you heard this?
Yes, well, I told you. But it wasn't revelations. It was that's been around for ages. Rand Paul, when he was talking about it in Congress, wherever he fucking speaks, I don't know the American system. I sent you a thing about the funding and the research being for the virus being completely fucking pretty much US funded.
Oh, yeah.
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 So that's the whole lab leak. Yeah, lab leak. It was a lab leak. Yes, it was Chinese scientists working on it, but it was American money and American organizations controlling it. Yeah, and Fauci and a guy called Peter Daszak are all connected to it. So basically, lots of people died because the Americans fucked up. That's what it comes down to. But you're not hearing about it because that would get real fucking messy. And that's not, don't fucking come at me with your fucking tinfoil hat shit, because that's not a conspiracy theory. That's not, I know you'd like it to be a conspiracy theory. You'd like 2-3 years of your life not to have been put in the toilet because of some fucking balance trying to make money and experiment with things they really shouldn't be experimenting with. And yes, I understand gain of function. I understand we have to understand viruses and stuff like that. So there is a real outbreak of something. We know how to deal with it, all that stuff. But basically, the good guys fucked up. Good guys fucked up and lots of people died. Good guys. They fucked up, lots of people died, and lots of people also made a lot of money.
I'm just conscious of time. What was it you had a topic you wanted to talk about mentioned Wuhan?
Some American stuff. There's two things. There's one, the new tax stuff that Biden's talking about. So I think capital gains tax has gone up by plus 40%, I think. And they're talking about taxing unrealized gains as well now. Yeah, so that's real good.
Taxing unrealized gains?
Yes, yes.
Oh, nice.
Go to David Sachs about it. Go to David Sachs and scroll through his shit.
That is mental.
Yeah, so there's that. And there's also what happened with the Samurai Wallet guys. It's a bit of a crypto thing, but it's all connected. So they've been arrested for running a privacy, basically a way of keeping your Bitcoin private.
What guys? Oh, the Samurai guys.
Samurai Wallet, yeah. Yeah. So they've been arrested. But like the point of it is, the US are starting to go after or laying the groundwork to go after self-custody crypto.
Where will the new business haven be? Businesses will already be starting to leave the US, right? Where will they be going?
I don't know, but that isn't that brilliant though? You've read Sovereign Individual, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I suggested that book to you. I implanted it into your
brain. Rees Mogg's dad's book.
Yes, Rees Mogg's dad's book.
Yeah, yeah.
Big fucking Jake.
Yeah.
So that one of the things about that book is it talks about. It's very long winded, but it's very, very, very good, and you should read it. It predicts a lot of stuff really fucking eerily. It predicts the situation we are in now, and it was written in like 1998-ish. But it talks a lot about how nation states are changed. Technology will mean that nation states won't have the same draw and relevance on people, and that in order for them to continue to be successful as even things, they're going to have to change the way that they deal with their citizens. So the citizens will change from tax cattle like they are to more something along the lines of like customers. And I don't mean that. That sounds a bit fucking wet. But what I mean by that is you will be able to, and obviously there will be a big backlash to try and stop this type of stuff, but they will compete for citizens. Come here. Here's the tax. Look at all the good services you have. Think about your tax bill as a subscription plan. Currently, I would imagine if you live in the UK or the US, you're not particularly happy with where your subscription money's going. Other countries will go, well, we'll tax you the same or similar or maybe less, but look at what your standard of life is. So there'll be a competition for people. So this is part of that. So this is what doing stuff like this, and it predicts the fact that these failing states will start to take the piss and overtax their citizens, and the citizens will start to go, what the fuck is happening? And they're capable, our financially mobile people will just move to these better places. That's kind of what Q's saying here. And you're starting to see that with the US. Have you found the tweet from David Sachs about explaining the taxation stuff?
No, let's have a look.
David, I think Blanche talked about it as well. But yeah, so not only were you taxed on your capital gains at a fucking massive amount, you'll also be taxed on your unrealized gains. So if you don't know what unrealized gains are, so if you are, imagine you're a bookie, I only know this for my fucking shit crypto tradiness. Maybe at scale this is different and you can tell me I'm talking shit. But if I've made a load of profit, it sits in my account until it leaves the exchange and goes into my bank. It's not realized profit because it can all still just disappear. It's like it's effectively fake monies on a screen, fake numbers on the screen, like an IOU to me about what I'm owed if I wanted to pull that out and go somewhere. So when I pull that out and take it to my bank account, that is a realized gain, and then I can be taxed on it. So that's what happens now. Like 20% in the UK, isn't it? Or it was. Anyway. But yeah, they're talking about you have to tax the stuff that's sat in your trading account. Or, you know, I'm sure if the way it works in business, if you own shares of businesses, is similar. But
the thing is with that kind of bringing that kind of policy in, it pushes people more towards crypto, gives it more of a reason to get the fuck off the dollar.
But then you're also talking about it wouldn't matter. It's not just a dollar. It doesn't matter what it is. It's anything you've got wealth in. You could be selling some shitcoin, but it's still profit. And you could sell that out into bucket. You mean fiat or a dollar? But the point is, it's connected to that other thing I was talking about, where they're starting to lay the foundations to go after self-custody crypto. You know what I mean? And the stuff coming in about going after people who provide privacy services for crypto.
It's crazy.
Yeah, this is crazy. You know, the clampdown that everyone has been talking about for years, certainly crypto. Oh, they're going to come for your stuff eventually. They'll regulate you into into not being able to have any fucking financial privacy. That fight is very much here now. It's getting very fucking real. Like, the intrusion of the state into your fucking wallet and your life, particularly in the US, but, you know, anything that goes to the US comes to the West afterwards. The EU's fucking terrible with this stuff as well. Yeah. Like, they've literally just thrown these lads, these guys who run Samurai Wallet, they've been arrested. They're going to have, obviously, loads of charges brought against them and try to be prosecuted for providing a service that just gives you privacy for your Bitcoin wealth. And don't come at me with the money laundering shit. I mean, to be fair, there is, I'll digress in a sec, but like, don't pretend that money laundering doesn't happen in banks. Don't pretend that money laundering doesn't happen in fiat. The scale that money laundering happens with fiat is off the scale compared to what happens with crypto. Financial privacy should be a right. It should be a right to financial privacy unless people have a reason to go after you. Now, these guys weren't very sensible. So there's lots of tweets that are probably going to get pulled up in this case against them about, I think when the Russian sanctions were happening at the start of the Ukraine thing, there's a few tweets knocking around talking about them encouraging Russian oligarchs to, you know, use their service to try and keep their Bitcoin private. So that's not sensible. You're poking the bear there. You wait. It's just not a sensible thing to do. But I don't have an issue with these, like, mixing services or whatever, however you want to call them. You know, there's a guy in prison in Holland who was a Tornado cash dev who did pretty much the same thing. He's in prison still. He's been in prison for well over a year. I don't think he's been convicted of anything yet. It's mental. And the main point of what I'm trying to say is, as we've said a million times, things are changing. The world is changing around you. Some real fucking nasty shit is coming. I remember when half an hour ago when I was saying we shouldn't be depressing and we should try and be positive.
Yeah. I mean, the reason, and we've mentioned this again before, the reason that it's worrying about the clampdown on cryptocurrency and, again, on privacy of it, is that when you look at it from the perspective that cash is not going to be a thing in the future. It's, in the near future, it's not going to be a thing. And you can say, yeah, they'll never remove cash. You know what? And they probably won't. There'll probably always be cash circulating, right? But the fact of the matter is, there won't be a lot of businesses in the future that will accept cash. The amount of businesses accepting cash is already reducing. You can go into places and you are not able to pay for cash these days. That's now. That's on the high street. Most places, yes. Some places, no. And it's a small percentage. That's going to increase. Do you, if you want, have all the fucking cash in the world in your house, you can't use it for shit. You can't do anything with it. You won't be able to do anything with it. You won't be able to spend it anywhere. And that is the last bastion of you having any control over any financial asset yourself, 100% control, being able to hold money in your hand, and that is yours. No one can come and take it from you. Well, when everything moves digital, they can just fucking take it. This is again, one of the points of the Samurai Wallet, you know, the points of them being able to provide the privacy there. It's not hiding nefarious activity. It's empowering people to be in control of their own fucking money.
Yeah. Well, you saw with the Canada truckers where they just bin people's bank accounts. I'm sure there was a story, was it last week in Australia? Where people, there was a video of somebody, you know, asking, they're trying to get money out of their bank and their bank wouldn't give it to them unless they told them what it was for. And that's insanity. That's madness. Like, a bank is just holding your cash. Obviously, we know that it doesn't hold your cash. We know what they do with your cash. But if you go walk into a bank and ask for your money, the idea that they ask you what you want it for is madness. Mm. It's madness. It's your money. You've worked for it. There should be no restrictions whatsoever. If you want to pull out a fucking £1 million in one day, you should be able to do it, or at least with a little bit of notice. You should be filling a form in, shouldn't be doing anything. It's your money. You have every right to do what you want with it. And that is supposedly, you know, one of the core principles that crypto was built on. Obviously, as everyone's got rich with crypto, some of that's changed a bit, as it always does when people get rich. But yeah, core principle of it is privacy and the ability to do what you want with your own money and be in charge of your own financial dealings, freedom to transact, all that shit. It's not fucking libertarian bullshit. It's just really basic. It's like freedom of speech. You should be able to transact, pay somebody for something that isn't illegal, and you should be able to talk to somebody about something that isn't illegal. And we should be very careful about the things that we make illegal. Yeah.
Mm.
Mad shit.
I mean, you know, did that off-the-books trading in the future will still be able to happen. You know, like now you can go to some places and, well, a lot of places, and they'll take cash. You can pay in cash. And there's places you go to, independent places, and you know that cash is not going to be going to the bank. That cash, they've just done this transaction. It's not going to be getting taxed. It's like, yeah, cash, anything. Like hobbles, you know, hobble work, or foreigners, as some people call it. Have you ever heard that? Foreigner?
Yeah, yeah.
You heard that expression? Oh, no, yeah. Okay, right. So, but in the future, it'll just be like, via fucking Bitcoin or some other crypto. You'll be able to go in and you can do your transaction with your credit card or your debit card if you want when you're paying for, I don't know, a haircut, for example. Bang, you do that. Or it'll be you can send the Bitcoin to their address and it'll be an address that isn't connected to the bank account and it's just it's a wallet that they use.
But this is
the point. It's just, instead of handing over cash for your haircut, you'd be handing over Bitcoin digitally.
This is the thing. The stuff that they're starting to lay the groundwork to bring in now in the US makes that illegal. It makes non-KYC Bitcoin illegal.
Yeah. I'm saying,
so you will have to break the law.
It will still exist.
Yeah, it will exist, but you will be a criminal. And how many people are going to go, okay, I've all my financial freedom and privacy, I'm willing to be effectively a criminal and risk breaking the law, when actually, you get the argument like, yeah, but it's more convenient just use the bank. And they'll make it so convenient to do it all within your bank. It'll be the most convenient thing in the world. It'll be connected to all other things in your life that make it very, very difficult. Like yes, I've got some Bitcoin. I want to pay for my car to get fixed in Bitcoin. What if the bank, if that fucking mechanic won't take it? You fucked. You know what I mean? You're going to have some kind of underground network of people who are willing to do this, who are at risk of being arrested constantly, or you're going to have mass dissent. People saying, no, like, you can't arrest all of us. We're going to use this. You know? Yeah. Like I said, here, Bulgaria, cash, fucking king. Yes, you can play in cards most places, but they want cash first. So I have no issue with you telling you go to pay with your card. I've got no problem saying, have you got cash?
Mm.
And you go, I'm paying cash. They just prefer it, obviously. You know, because they're wary of the government. They know what the government does with money. Yeah. But, you know, we talk about this stuff constantly, and I know it's fucking boring, but we talk about it because it should be in the conversation. More people should be talking about it because this is what's coming. All the things that you thought would never happen in your lifetime are going to happen in your lifetime. Sorry, you're in a dystopian film.
For people who've never seen it or never seen the film or never read it, go and watch or read 1984.
Yeah.
You know, like probably the most famous dystopian novel and dystopian film out there. And if you haven't seen it or watched it, go and watch it and then go, fuck me. We're on that journey now, you know. Worrying. Anyway, I gotta go and take a leak.
Oh, you go for a piss? Okay. So you told me that the remainder of the afternoon was free for you. I was going to take up tons of your time.
I didn't. Not the remainder of the afternoon.
Okay.
I said up until an hour from now.
Right. Okay. Yeah, well, I've
resisted. What else have you got to cover?
No, nothing really. Nothing. What was I going to talk about? I'm sure there was something else. It doesn't matter.
Something happy, was it?
Probably fucking not. Probably not. Oh, yeah. Well, not really happy. Just a semi-announcement thing. I'm going to start doing a daily fucking thing for the paid Substack people. Like toilet thoughts. You know when you're having a shit in the morning? And you really
Hang on, one second. Is this how you want to sell the sales pitch?
Yeah.
Is this how you want to deliver the sales pitch?
It's realistic.
You know when you're having a shit in the morning.
Yeah, it's a realistic thing. So I figure that I'm up 2 hours before any most people. Kind of. Sometimes. Because I'm 2 hours ahead. I've got time to get up in the morning and write something brief. When you in the UK, because that's where the majority of the subscribers are, certainly the paid subscribers. And this will be for the paid subscribers. I'm going to write a quick thing that probably only takes 5 to 10 minutes to read. The idea that you read it in the morning when you're having a shit. Take that little time there. That's why it's not going to take ages. I'm not like fucking old man Hugh who takes 2 hours to have a shit and have to write an essay. Literally going to be a quick, what? Do you want to talk about your evacuations?
What? 2 hours?
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. Anyway, get it, short thing. Try and do it every day. Short thing, not set up for the day. And it will just be train of thought stuff, any subject. So going to try and make it relatively positive. It will try and be positive. The end result of it will be try and be fairly motivating. That's my idea. Because I want to give more to the paying people, and have to try and encourage more people to pay. And I'm coming up with ideas to make it more meaningful. What you've got? You're about to say sorry face on.
No. I for a very similar reason. I'm starting up my month for my lot. I used to do monthly calls, and then I binned it because timings, basically. I'm going to start that back up again. Same reason. It's a weird thing to have voluntarily paying subscribers, isn't it?
Yeah.
I find it a weird thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's good because it's accountability. I feel very obligated to provide the best experience I can for them. Like it's a fucking weird thing. It's hard to explain. Like yeah. it's not normal buy and sell stuff. Like
no, it's
sort of the best expression that someone actually gives a shit about what you're saying and what you're thinking, or whoever in my case, whoever I'm interviewing is thinking or saying. You know.
Yeah. So yeah.
Very humbling.
You don't want to feel like you're taking money off people for nothing because. Everything on the Substack currently is free. Mine started off as pretty much paid. And then I didn't really like it. So I made everything free. And now I'm like, well, everyone who's paying now is paying just because they're a good dude, which is cool. Obviously, appreciate that. But I would actually like to give you something extra. Because you're not really getting anything extra currently. And if you think of something, shit, I wish you would do that. You know, I would be willing to pay X if you did this every month or whatever. Fucking feedback, tell me. I might actually put an email out asking about it. But yeah, certainly a little 5-minute read in the morning. It's not going to be life changing, but it might, you know, it might be. It will just be me chatting shit. So unsubscribe if that doesn't interest you. Right, have another fucking day. Have a nice weekend, everybody. It's Friday. Enjoy yourself. Things could be worse.
Enjoy your time with your kidnapped dogs, guys.
I know. I've got two kids. Yeah, they are kidnapped. I should have brought one so nice so people could see. They're very cute. What can I tell you? I'm a good person. We spoke about this previously. What?
Nothing.
I'm a good person.
Modest as well.
I am a good person, I'm aware. I'm a bad person in some ways, a good person in ways in others. Told you, if I had 6 months to live, I would go and hunt people, and I would love every second of it, who are bad to dogs. It's that simple. I'll just disappear people who are bad to dogs. That'd be mega. It'd probably be the best 6 months of my life. Anyway. Have a nice day.
Yeah, cheers, folks.
Bye.
Bye.